With mountains and valleys and thick forests, there are lots of places to get away from people in our region, and sometimes we get away a bit too far. Those are the situations that sometimes require the help of search and rescue crews. It involves some specialized training and skills, and yet is still largely a volunteer operation. A lot of dedicated people put in the training and working time to make sure that missing people are found again. Two guests join us, one in studio, one on the phone. Sergeant Sean Richards is the coordinator for Jackson County Search and Rescue. He's sitting here with me. Welcome to the studio, Sergeant Richards.
Good morning, doll.
And Jeanette Sinclair is with us as well. She's a volunteer in the Coos County Search and Rescue. Hi, Jeanette.
Good morning.
Good to have you both here. Is Search and Rescue is really much your primary job, Sergeant Richards, at Jackson County Sheriff's Office. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I do have some other duties, but SAR is my primary job.
Mm-hmm. And so, talk about the way in which SAR or Search and Rescue is distributed. It is generally the function of sheriff's offices, but with a lot of volunteers, it sounds like.
That's true. ORS puts the sheriff in charge of search and rescue in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And what was it something you got interested in, or was it something that got assigned to you? I mean, obviously, you would have an aptitude for it by now, I would think.
You know, early in my career, about 18 years ago, I went on a SAR mission as security and saw the people that were there, the volunteers, and just the camaraderie, and I was hooked. So I've done it ever since.
How many people volunteer for the Jackson County Sheriff's Office?
About 120 volunteers.
Mm-hmm. And with about 2 paid staff, it looks like, huh?
That's correct.
Wow. That's a lot of people to keep track of. And what kinds of expertise, if any, do they need to bring to the table just to get involved in the first place?
Yeah, no, we have people from every walk of life, from attorneys, doctors, to students. Mm-hmm. And literally retired folks, people that work full-time. We just have a huge array of people on board.
So, Jeanette, let's figure out where in that array you land. What got you first interested in volunteering for search and rescue in Coos County?
I started by having my daughter get a bloodhound, and then I saw a news article of a bloodhound rescuing a young boy. And I thought, wow, I bet my bloodhound and I could do that. And from there, I was hooked. The bloodhound hurt her hip, and I have a lab and went to a lab instead, and I've been passionate for this ever since.
So it's a constant companion, you and dog, or you're always the dynamic duo on search and rescue?
That's correct. We are a team.
Do you have a job in addition to your work with search and rescue?
Yes, I work full-time.
Okay, for who? For what?
I work at Al Pierce Company, a timber company in Coos Bay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you find the time to get away from a full-time job to do search and rescue training and work as well?
Oh, my company is the best company to work for. They allow me to go out anytime I need to.
When in the year, Sean Richards, are you guys busiest? What are the times of the year that you're most likely to get search and rescue calls?
You know, quite honestly, in Jackson County, we're busy year-round. We have tourism year-round, so we really don't have a downtime. And we run about 106 missions a year. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty busy.
So, yeah, you're going to have, it sounds like, 2 in any week anyway.
Yeah.
On average. So you mentioned tourism, though. I mean, are the tourists often the ones who are requiring search and rescue services? Are they the people who get lost or get in places they can't get out of?
You know, I think it's about 50-50, local residents to tourism.
Mm-hmm. So give us a fairly common circumstance in Jackson County. What's a pretty typical call for search and rescue?
You know, there's a wide variety from, folks have Alzheimer's that go missing in town. To we do a lot of missions, unfortunately, on Mount McLaughlin, where people get lost on the top of the hill, and we have to go find them.
McLaughlin's a pretty tricky place. Is it usually on the descent where people lose the trail on the way down?
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. You know, there's kind of an optical illusion on top that you think you're going to take a shortcut, and you really end up 3 drainages from where you should be.
Oh, yikes. Not a good thing. All right. So, what's the normal run of a mission with search and rescue? How many people are you going to put out there? How long is it going to take? And that sort of thing.
You know, really, the situation dictates what we're going to do. We have, it's just by the situation. We could be Mount McLaughlin. If we're able to have cell phone coverage with the people, we can talk them down in just a couple hours, and we go pick them up, take them back to their vehicle, and we've been out there as long as 2 days. So it's just really depends how big a trouble they're in.
That's interesting, talking them down. So I imagine by now you guys know enough of the places to tell people that you could pretty much do this over the phone then, turn left here, that kind of thing.
Yeah, if we have cell phone coverage as well, yeah. And the technology has helped a bunch in SAR.
What is the latest search and rescue operation you had?
I'm trying to think here.
Sounds like you haven't been too busy.
Yeah, well, we have. We had an Alzheimer's person missing just this past weekend.
Really? Okay. And what are there any particular bits of expertise or approaches that you take in a situation with a person with dementia who goes missing?
Finding a lot of times it just depends whether they're on foot or in this case, they were in a vehicle. And, we just try to find those nuggets of information that are out there that gives us a direction of travel. And the biggest thing that hampers us is time and distance. So we want people to call as soon as they can, because that's truly what we battle is time and distance.
All right, so this is not like a missing person case. You want to hear from people as soon as somebody does not show up on time?
Yeah, one of the biggest issues we have is there's still a false perception out there that you have to wait 24 hours before you report somebody missing. It's absolutely not true. We want to know they're gone as soon as possible so we can get on it and get them found.
We're talking about search and rescue with folks from Jackson County and Coos County. Sergeant Sean Richards is the coordinator for Jackson County SAR. And Jeanette Sinclair is a volunteer with Coos County SAR, she and her dog. And Jeanette, what's the dog's name? I haven't asked yet.
Well, actually, I have two of them. Mm-hmm. I have Leah, who is my trailing dog, and Augie, who is my air scent dog.
Okay, we'll have to ask about those terms in a second while I invite people to join the conversation. 800-838-3760 if you have questions about how search and rescue is done, or maybe you've taken part in it, or maybe you've been somebody who benefited from search and rescue in the past. We'd love to hear your story. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, trailing dogs and air scent dogs. Explain that.
A trailing dog is the one that you see mostly on television where you get a scent article and you scent the dog on that article and you take them to the place last seen and you will circle your dog and have the dog pick up the trail and the dog will follow the trail to the missing person. And dogs are usually only effective for 24 hours on trailing.
Because the scent is lost after that, covered up by other scents?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's really contaminated or it just dissipates over time.
And so I noticed that, Jeanette, you've been doing this for about 6 years now, and it started with dogs, as you pointed out. The dogs obviously need some direction as well, but how long was your own training then? How long did you have to learn some of the basic techniques and skills of search and rescue?
It took me a year to become certified. We have to go through training with GPS and medical, compass, just an overall training to be sent out into the wilderness and know that we can survive out there if we have to spend the night. We have a 24-hour pack that we always carry just in case we are out in the elements overnight.
So is that tent and sleeping bag and food and first aid and all that stuff?
Correct. Yes, we have tarps, we have ropes, food for us, we have emergency blankets for our subject if they're found, just to keep them warm. We carry extra clothes in case we need to help the person with hypothermia to change their clothes and get them out of wet clothes.
Wow, you have to carry a lot of stuff then. How heavy is that pack?
Oh, I think about mine's about 25 pounds. And then Augie requires quite a bit of water, and we always have a flanker with us, someone who is behind us, who helps us navigate with our map and our GPS, and I always ask them to carry a little extra water for him.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you got a few extra people carrying the water for Augie.
Correct, yes.
So Sergeant Sean Richards, give us a sense of what the toughest situations are to handle. I mean, what are the things that are going to take the most time and require the most training?
You know, it's the call that we get that, you know, a family member has been missing for 2 days. That's the toughest thing there, because they're, you know, those breadcrumbs are far and few between at that point. So it makes it difficult.
All right. Obviously, the rescue part of the search and rescue, there are situations where you have to get people out of some fairly heavy circumstances. I think people have fallen into ravines and stuff like that. So what kind of expertise and teams do you have for those operations?
You know, we have a rope team. They go, they do high angle rescue. We also have a helicopter here locally that we can go in and hoist and short haul folks out, as well as a lot of times ground, just our normal ground folks will go in and we'll pack somebody out in a Stokes litter.
Which is the rigid sort of carrier for a person?
Yeah, depending on their injury, we have to make a decision once we get with the person, get them stabilized, and get their medical condition. Then that'll dictate what we do, whether we carry them out, fly them out, or what assets are needed.
So are all search and rescue folks fairly well trained in first aid and up to a certain level of CPR and first responder training?
Yeah, they're all first aid and CPR trained. Mm-hmm. But many of them go above and beyond that. They do wilderness first aid, which is a higher level. Or we have anywhere from EMTs to, like I said, to physicians in SAR.
Jeanette, I haven't asked about something you have in Coos County that Jackson County does not have, which is an ocean. And I wonder how often that figures into search and rescue operations there.
Well, we have had a few accidents on the bar, and we have been sent out to find people that have crashed on the bar with their boats. So we have had that come into play a couple times, and then that's when the police do an efficient job, and they figure out which way the tide is going, if it's coming in or out, and then they place us where they think we will be the most effective.
Sean Richards, you were talking about the toughest situation is when if somebody's been missing for 2 days. I mean, sometimes is this body recovery and not recovery of a live person?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's part of the job. That does sometimes happen.
How extensive is the cooperation? I noticed that it seems like there is some cross state line cooperation with a task force involving both California and Oregon.
Yes. So we belong in Southern Oregon to a group called CORSAR, which is California Oregon Search and Rescue. Since in about 06, there was a SAR case which ended in some legislation, which they took the state of Oregon and broke it down into regions, which were the CORSAR region. And it requires us to train once a year together and just cooperate. And we're very fortunate here. CORSAR is a great region. We train together once a year. We call it Summer X. And we help each other on a regular basis.
In the process of training together, did you find some differences in approaches on two sides of the state line or things that maybe either side could learn from the other, things that were, oh, hey, we never thought about that. That looks cool.
Learning is a constant thing. I mean, we learn every time we go out, we learn something. And yeah, it's great to have different opinions out there and ways of doing things. And we just come together and do the best that we can for the subject that's missing.
Let's talk about cases that ended well. And Jeanette, since you come in this as a volunteer, I wonder if you can think of some cases where things did come to a successful conclusion and what that felt like.
My first and favorite search was a call out for a 5-year-old autistic boy. And I arrived, went into the home, made my scent article, came out, scented my dog. And within an hour, we had found him and got him back to his family. It was very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. So you actually were part of the crew that found him?
Yes, my dog went straight to him. It was kind of funny because being a lab, at the bottom of this ravine was a creek running through it. And she jumped in and ran up it, and I'm going, Leah, knock that off. We're here to find a little boy. And then she ran up the side of the hill, and it was very brushy, and her bell stopped because she wears a bell so I can hear. And I'm thinking, what are you doing now? And then I heard his little voice, and I just, my heart just dropped, and I crawled through the bushes, and there he was. She had found him, and I just talked to him, and he didn't have any problems with being touched. He held his hand all the way, and we got back up to the top, and his mother came running out. It was a beautiful feeling. It's very rewarding.
And did having Leah there actually help? I mean, did the dog help keep him calm?
Actually, I think she did, because she sat right next to him while I was crawling in. He was sitting on the ground. He was muddy and cold and wet, and he had a stick, and he was just hitting a tree with the stick.
Huh. So he didn't, it wasn't as much of a concern to him that he was away from family. Wow.
No, he had no idea.
Sean Richards, I imagine the cases blur together a bit over the years for somebody who's been in it as long as you have and responsible for as much as you are. But, I mean, are there any particularly notable cases that still stand out for you?
Yeah, always. You know, we have the cases that we don't solve. Those are like a thorn in our side, you know, and we continue to work on them. Samuel Bulkey, I don't know if you recall him. He was a young boy that went missing in Crater Lake. We've searched about 8 years for that kid. So those never leave you.
Oh, that's right. He dashed away from his family, didn't he?
His father. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had any real substantial clues in that case yet. But we continue to search on those cases. Those never leave your mind. But, we have other cases where they just stick in your mind, good finds. And we do have a very high success rate. They just stay with you, and you get volunteers from that. You know, we have family members on RSAR that came from a successful search.
Oh, really? So people who said, okay, I could see how this works. I want to make sure I'm part of it next time.
Yep, want to give back, absolutely.
Well, we are talking about search and rescue with folks from Jackson County and Coos County. Sergeant Sean Richards is the overall coordinator for SAR in Jackson County. Jeanette Sinclair is a volunteer with Coos County SAR. She and two dogs, Leah and Augie. You can join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760 for questions. Maybe you have a story to share as well, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from John and Vanita. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
I'll thank you guys for what you do and give those pooches a good hug. The reason I call it, I want to make a point, and I hope you're in agreement with me on this. I'm a longtime wilderness tracker. I worry about a lot of the younger folks because a lot of people don't really understand for some reason is a GPS is not a replacement for a compass. There's just no way. And GPS is an awesome tool. I went through the REA class and all that. It's great. But, the joke is, you probably heard it, you find some young guys and you found them and they're okay. And I wasn't really lost. My batteries were dead.
Uh-huh.
You can't beat a compass and a map. That's it.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. So let's get some sense of the way. Are people getting lost more in the age of cell phones because they think they do have a greater level of confidence, Sean Richards?
I'm not quite sure that we do have a high call load, but, technology can both be a hindrance and a help. It does give them kind of a sense of security. And he's absolutely right. People need to, take some personal responsibility and be prepared on all levels. Map and compass is good. GPS is good. Having that cell phone with you is even good to call for help so we can get a location on you. But two, also have food, water, and some sort of supplies that you, if you get caught out, you can stay out and be comfortable and safe.
How has technology helped the search and rescue effort? I mean, with all the apps that are on phones and stuff, I just wonder if there's any stuff out there as well that has helped help you make use of things like the cellular network, although I have to believe in some places it's probably not reachable.
Yeah, it can be very, hit and miss out there. But on a regular basis, we have people call in and state that they're missing, and the 911 dispatcher can actually do they call it an E911 hit on the cell phone that if they have decent enough service will give us an exact location. And so that just cuts off a lot of time for us. We can go to that point and start and work from there.
Is the closure time for a case then a lot less than it used to be?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. And Jeanette, have things sped up in Coos County as well? I have to believe they have.
Yes, we have. We actually had a rescue last weekend. Our youngest dog team had their first find. We had a 77-year-old mushroom picker who had gone missing on Friday, and Saturday we went out, and within an hour and a half, the dog team had located him. It took us probably 2 hours to get him out with the help of the fire stations that we have here. We had two fire stations who responded, as well as the search and rescue team.
Get him out of what?
It was a ravine. Off of 101, that he got cold and got tired, and it was very brushy. It took us like 2 hours to get him out, and we had to cut through using machetes, drop the litter down, and rope him down the hill a little bit, and then we turned him around and pulled him up the other side. State police responded with an ATV, and we carried him out with the ATV part of the way. So it was a joint effort. It was a very big team effort with SAR, fire stations, and the state police, and then our Coos County Sheriff's Office.
Was the mushroom picker injured or just stuck?
Just hypothermia. Mm-hmm. He just got down and couldn't get out. It rained very hard. He was cold and wet. The ambulance took him to the hospital, and he was out that night.
Wow.
That's... But it was through the air scent dog. I never got to explain what an air scent dog is.
Oh.
An air scent dog operates off lead. They're trained to just go out and find any human out in the wilderness.
Hmm. Okay, and that's what Augie does?
Yes, that's what Augie does.
All right. So what, Sean Richards, can make the difference in success or not from the point of view of a missing person? I mean, what can people do when they're out in the woods, even if they think, oh, I know my way around here? What are just some simple things they should do to make sure that if something goes wrong, they can be found?
So prepare with the proper equipment. The second thing is have a plan, and have whoever that person is that's going to call us at 12:30 with the, hey, this person is missing, know a general area where you're going to be, your route that you plan on taking, and, you know, just how many people are there, you know, what vehicle they took. All those things are just a plan to where they can shave off time for us, that we don't have to start with all of Jackson County to locate that person.
So don't leave it at, I'm going for a hike. Leave it at, it's got to be, I'm going for a hike. I'll probably be up this road, this drainage, that kind of thing.
Yeah, just a general route would be very helpful.
I noticed that Jackson County Search and Rescue has a Lost But Found program, an educational program. Is it aimed at kids?
Yes. Yeah, we go into pretty much anybody that'll take us, but we spend a bunch of time in the elementary schools, the state parks during the summer months, just teaching kids about, you know, kind of the old hug a tree type concept, what to do if they become lost and how to prepare.
You mentioned 120 volunteers with Jackson County Search and Rescue. Could you use some more?
Always, always. Yeah, and we take people on every quarter. Mm-hmm. We take volunteers in, and so our next go-around here in Jackson County will be in January that we're looking for new volunteers.
And Jeanette, how many volunteers in Coos County Search and Rescue?
We only have about 25.
Oh, wow. So it's a smaller county for sure, but it sounds like it could probably use some more.
Yes, and there is a place for everybody on the team. You don't have to be a ground pounder. You don't have to have a dog. There's a place in incident command. There's a place for the young mother who is at home, who just wants to make a pot of chili for us.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of skills necessary for search and rescue. Okay, thanks to both of you for joining us today to talk about it. Jeanette Sinclair is a volunteer with Coos County Search and Rescue, and Sergeant Sean Richards is the coordinator for Jackson County SAR. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for the opportunity.